Welcome to Throwing Mountains Weekly Strength. I'm your host, Chris Bollinger. For the next 12 or 13 minutes, we're going to draw strength from the Bible. I encourage you to make this a daily practice on your own. This is week 4 of Tough Topics in the Bible and the Christian Life. This week's tough topic is equality. The Bible passage for this episode is Galatians 3, 26-29. I'll read it from the ESV, the English Standard Version. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. When Jesus had his ministry on earth nearly 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire was the major force throughout the Mediterranean region. In that empire, there really was no concept of equality. At the top of the heap were Roman citizens. Only men could be full-fledged citizens because women were considered inferior to men. A woman could be a partial citizen only through her father or her husband. Among non-citizens, those men who were born free or made free had a higher standing than slaves and servants. And fathers had a higher standing than their sons, even when their sons were adults. Jesus was, of course, a Jew living in an area that had been conquered by Rome. Like Romans, Jews really didn't believe in equality. But Jews had different ideas than Romans about where people resided on the relative totem pole or pyramid. Jews considered themselves at the top, at least in God's eyes. After all, the Jewish people were the children of Abraham, God's chosen people. Gentiles, or non-Jews, were inferior to Jews. So were Samaritans who had their own version of Judaism. Among Jews, women had little standing. From a legal standpoint, they were considered completely unreliable, and so their testimony was not admissible in a court of law. A Jewish man's standing among other Jewish men depended on his wealth, his family history, and other factors. At the top of the heap were those who kept God's law the best and thereby earned God's favor. Did Jesus believe in equality among people? Consider what he said and did with respect to two groups, non-Jews and women. Let's start with Gentiles and other non-Jews. At first glance, it seems that Jesus shared the prevailing Jewish views that non-Jews were inferior. Here are two examples from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 10, 1 and 5 through 8. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." And Matthew 15, 21-26. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Let's contrast those passages with some others that provide a different perspective. John chapter 4 records that Jesus spoke at length with a Samaritan woman at the well, and then spent 2 days teaching in her village, which resulted in many coming to faith there. Luke 10 records that after Jesus cited the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, he was asked, who is my neighbor? In response, Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, where the Samaritan shows love to a Jew who has been beaten and left for dead. Matthew 8 records that Jesus healed the servant of a centurion, but first, Jesus said this, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. After Jesus seemed to end the conversation with the Canaanite woman by saying, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, the woman responded, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Jesus then said, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. John 10:16 records Jesus saying, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And finally, after his resurrection, Jesus instructed his followers to make disciples of all nations. If Jesus believed in equality among Jews and non-Jews, then why did Jesus focus nearly all his attention on Jews? I believe that Jesus focused on equipping Jews so that Jews could reach Gentiles. And that's just what they did. After Jesus ascended and his apostles received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, those apostles focused on spreading the gospel to other Jews, primarily in and around Jerusalem. But when the believers there were persecuted and scattered outside Jerusalem, they began to reach out to non-Jews. Acts 8 records Philip starting this trend in Samaria. After that, he went to Gaza, where he converted an Ethiopian eunuch who went on to preach the gospel in his home country. Acts 10 records Peter receiving a vision that, essentially, gives him permission to preach the gospel to Gentiles. There is lots of evidence that Peter devoted much of the rest of his life to doing just that. When Paul and Barnabas embarked on their first missionary journey, their goal was to reach Jews. But too many Jews opposed them, so they said, "We are turning to the Gentiles." For the rest of his life, Paul sought to reach Gentiles first. Okay, let's consider what Jesus said about women and how he treated women. Let's start with the obvious. Jesus' disciples were all men, not just the 12 disciples who are known by name in the Bible, but also the 72 whom he sent out, as recorded in Luke 10. The Bible makes it clear that a few women followed Jesus throughout his three-year ministry, but there's no record of Jesus ever asking any of his female followers to express an opinion or take an action. On the other hand, Jesus treated women, not just those who followed him, but other women as well, with dignity and respect that went far beyond the cultural norms of his day. For one thing, he addressed women directly while in public, which was unusual for a rabbi or any man to do. Here are three examples from the Gospel of Luke. Luke 7:12-13. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Luke 8:46-48. But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Luke 13:10-13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. When Jesus spoke to women, he used terms such as daughter and daughter of Abraham, which gave them a spiritual status equal to that of men. And Jesus held women personally responsible for their own sin, demonstrating that women had the self-determination to deal with the issues of sin, repentance, and forgiveness. Because Jesus demonstrated a high regard for women in both his life and his teaching, women responded warmly to his ministry. A significant number of early believers were women, and some played a prominent role in the early Christian church. Let me read today's passage again. Before I do, keep in mind that this passage was written by Paul, who described himself this way: circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Here's the passage. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. All Christians are equal. Equality, however, does not mean sameness. We each have a unique role to play, one for which each of us is uniquely designed. As Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 12, all Christians are a part of the body of Christ, and each part is essential. But each part is different because God has designed each part, each person, to play a different role. The challenge for every community of Christians is this: a well-functioning body relies on the harmonious interdependency of its parts. When a body is healthy, there is no division in it. Instead, the members care for one another. How will you achieve such harmony with your fellow believers? Next week, we'll look at the tough topic of failure. I hope you'll join me for that. Please pick up a copy of 52 Weeks of Strength for Men. You'll find it to be a good resource on this journey. Have a good week, men.